Welcome to the Sex Talk Cafe, a podcast where you'll get to learn from the experts in the field of sex, love, and relationships. The mission of the Sex Talk Cafe is to normalize the conversation on sexuality while building a bridge between the sexual and spiritual. I'm your host, Susan Morgan Taylor. I'm a holistic sex therapist, intuitive coach, and specialist in women's sexuality and feminine spirituality. I'm the founder and CEO of the Pathway to Pleasure Collective, where I help women and couples around the world restore intimacy, save their relationship, and get back to love without feeling like they have to sacrifice themselves just to keep their partner happy. Thank you so much for joining me. Welcome to the Sex Talk Cafe. All right, everybody, welcome to the Sex Talk Cafe. Super excited to have my special guest here today, Pamela Madsen, who is a somatic wellness educator, and she is the creator of the Back to the Body Method and hosts retreats all over the world in really cool locations. So we're going to be talking about that today, but before we dive into our juicy conversation, Pamela, I want to give you an opportunity to introduce yourself and tell our listeners just a little bit about you, who you are, and tell us a little bit about your work and what is a somatic wellness educator?
Okay. Well, I've lived long enough that that introduction will get very long. So what I think people really need to know about me is I have a long history of being an activist around reproductive rights. And so I was with Resolve, which is the National Infertility Organization, and then I founded the American Fertility Association, where I worked for all kinds of family building, from for LGBTQ people, straight people, all the people, insurance coverage, helped pass a couple of laws, and did a lot of work in front of Congress and the FDA in my time. And then I wrote a book about an experience that I had exploring my own sexuality when I was 40. And that book is called Shameless, How I Ditched the Diet, Got Naked, Found True Pleasure, and Somehow Got Home in Time to Cook Dinner. Because if nothing else, I was also a traditional wife and mother of two sons. And so took that experience of being a client of this work, of sexological body work, exploring my fantasies, finding my body. And in the process of that, cured an eating disorder that I had for 15 years. Like, it simply disappeared. And that's not simple because I was in therapy and I was taking medication. But once my body was receiving what my body wanted, it was no longer hungry for what wouldn't feed it. And so all of a sudden, one day, a cupcake just became a cupcake. And it was not very interesting to me. And that was 15 years ago. So I had an eating disorder from the time I was 15 to the time I was 40. And I'm much older now. And when I was exploring the sexual intimacy, sacred sex underground, which it was when I was exploring as a client, I had a lot of mixed experiences, some that were delicious and lovely and ethical and gorgeous, and some where the emphasis was solely on the ejaculating. Solely on like a very particular angle of sexuality. Like my body didn't matter. It was just this. And, you know, it has its place and it's not the main course in my opinion. In any way at all. And the workshops, you know, make your woman squirt, piss me off. Say that anymore? Or am I dating myself?
No. And I think because what you're speaking to, it's so singularly focused on the outcome, right? Just go for the ejaculation, go for the orgasm, go for the goal, which is limiting.
Susan, that's actually a masculine model.
Yes, it is.
Because men don't always know what's going on for us as women. They can't decipher what long, heightened, peaking arousal patterns sound like versus orgasm. But ejaculation, they can see. Right.
That's a really, really good point. It's visible. And here's my theory, because I know that a lot of your work does center around women's sexuality and bringing women back to their bodies, back into pleasure, which is one of the reasons I'm really happy to have you here. As a specialist in women's sexuality myself, I also find, and I'm sure you do too, that women also were unaware of what our bodies are capable of or what expanded states of pleasure are like, because we've sort of just taken what we've gotten and we don't understand that something else is possible. And what we see in media and TV and movies largely is that model of slam bam, thank you, ma'am. The guy is done in 30 seconds, 2 minutes if you're lucky. And then as women, we think that our bodies are supposed to be like that. And therefore, there's something wrong with me because that's not what my body is doing. So fix me. I'm the problem. So I find that as well. It's like a lot, really like a lack of knowledge, a lack of education around the feminine sexual response, the female bodied sexual response, and what's actually possible. And that's also possible for the male body as well, I might add. It's just that we don't, it's just sort of a different path, and we don't have the education around it.
Absolutely. I mean, so everything you said is true. And so what happened with me is after I took the sexological body work training, I finally decided that I was going to create a container for women where women would come and there'd be no magic wand that, you know what I mean by that?
Magic.
There'd
That's
be no magic
cool.
wand.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, that would be coming out. This is the time that most women
Yeah.
want to touch the magic wand, my sword of light. Yeah, that doesn't happen at my programs.
Thank
So I
God.
do work with a lot of male practitioners, also female practitioners, and we have a very, very strong code of ethics, and we're also papered. People sign agreements with me
Sure.
about what happens and what doesn't happen at a
Yeah.
back-to-body retreat, and what a practitioner is, what's expected of a practitioner. And while I believe that men belong in the space, I believe that male practitioners, as well as female practitioners, belong in the space, because a lot of the work that we're teaching women to do is how do they voice to a man?
Yeah.
How do they speak back to power?
Yeah.
Because the masculine in the sexual realm is also often seen as the powerful role.
Right.
And so how do we slow things down? How
Yes.
do we actually learn our bodies when we're not
Yeah.
taught? We're
Right.
not even taught to trust our bodies.
Right.
And how are we going to voice? And so,
Right.
I mean, even look at what's going on right now around women's reproductive choices.
Right.
I believe in all the choices.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever it is you want to do as a woman is the right choice.
Yeah.
And here we have men again telling women again
Yeah.
that we can't trust our own bodies. We're going
Right.
back 100 years.
Yeah.
So
Amazing. Yeah.
everything that I grew up with as a right is again being questioned. And so when that happens, women question their ability to own their own bodies.
Right.
And so we're back in it again. It's just like a never-ending cycle. And so what I support, what my work is all about, is supporting women first to understand their bodies, to understand their pleasure, to receive pleasure. We do one-way touch. The practitioners remain clothed.
Yeah.
It's very boundary and intimate
Yeah, and
and beautiful.
yeah, if we could, I want to back up just a little bit for our listeners that are with us here who don't know what the realm of sexological body work is, because I'd love to kind of talk about that a little bit so that people who are not familiar with that field get an understanding of what it actually is and what it isn't, because it can be very misunderstood and misconstrued. And since that's really the basis of your work, I think it'd be helpful just to talk. Could you just share with our listeners a little bit about what is sexological body work and what isn't it? What is it not?
Sure. So my work at its core is based on sexological body work. That's where my certification happened in 2007. I've been practicing a long time and training people a long time. So mostly we work on a massage table. Mostly it is Well, no, it's not mostly. It's always one-way touch. And so the direction of care is towards the client. It's towards her. What does she need? Helping her find her desires, helping her find, move through her obstacles. And there's a whole process that begins once the woman says yes, then she's put into a group and then she's supported and she has pre-interviews and she does intakes. And this is a container. I'm going to go in and out of your question. This is a container specifically held by women. That's not necessarily sexological body work. That's my container. It's a container held by female leadership. And we have a lot of space within the boundaries. So if the boundary, like here's your boundary, I should have a better thing than that. I'm going to use for lack of anything else, I'm going to grab the top of a perfume bottle. There we go. So here's a boundary. The boundary is one-way touch. The boundary is the men are not performing oral sex. There's no fluid exchange. There's no kissing of lips. No kissing of lips. There's no oral sex happening. They don't date clients. They're not intimate with clients outside of the realm of back to the body. We have very limited outside engagement. Inside, look at all the space inside the boundary. There's tons of room in here for women to play. There's room in here for women to explore things like kink. You know, were you fascinated by 50 Shades of Grey? You know, when you have an orgasm, are you thinking about a spanking? Would you like to experience that? Are you curious about rope play? Are you curious about how your vulva works? Are you curious about what gives you pleasure? Have you learned how to speak back? Have you learned about your boundaries? Have you learned about consent? Have you learned how to not feel shame around what turns you on? And so, when was the last time you have looked into somebody's eyes and been intimate with them? So we have intimacy in here. We have connection in here. And so we become a place where women can practice these skills. They can actually feel what it's like to have full-on attention. And that can be the women get 5 sessions during the week, which is the recipe. 5 sessions. They
Five
range
psychological body work sessions during this retreat.
the touch. So sexological body work is actually more than touch. Sexological body work is also education. And so what I'm doing with you right now is a form of sexological body work. We're doing sex education together right now. And so that would fall in the realm. And so there are workshops that go on and there women tell their body stories and their erotic body stories. And we do all kinds of programming outside of touch. And the touch is extremely important for women. You know, what is it like to have 90 minutes or 2 hours of undivided attention?
I mean, how often do we get that? And I think also what you're speaking to, how often, especially as women, are we given permission to take the time that we need to really listen to what our body is saying? And then to be empowered through our voice to make that choice to give voice to the thing that our body is desiring or not desiring, and to be so empowered in that. But I think there's a lot to be said for that spaciousness and that slowing down, and to have no pressure to have to want anything at all, or any pressure to have to produce some kind of result. Because as women, we really get in that trap of, oh, I need to please my partner, so I need to produce an orgasm or pretend like I'm enjoying this, even though I'm just tolerating it. And there's a lot of unwinding, I imagine, that happens at your retreats that these women go through. And I don't know if you want to speak to that, because, you know, pleasure and guilt are intimately intertwined, and shame. And a lot of times what I see is those become really big obstacles to pleasure, where there's so much like, oh, I shouldn't feel this. Or there's religious programming that tells us that we're bad if we feel aroused. And how does that show up in your retreats, and how do you help your participants work through that?
You know, it's an interesting question, and it's been a very alive question for us. So here's what's true. We see all kinds of women, right? So we see women who are somewhere between their 30s and their 80s. I mean, it's a huge spectrum. I've had
Wow.
like 7 decades at one retreat,
That's great.
which is gorgeous, right? So, A, you're never too old, but you can be too young. So, I don't like to take women in their early 20s. I just don't feel like they have the bones yet, to really know their consent. So I have had women in their early 20s, but they have to go through an extensive interview with me just to feel that they have the maturity to know their yes and to know their no.
Yeah, that's a huge
But
thing.
to your point of your question, a lot of women have had trauma. And what is interesting around sexual trauma is it often becomes the turn on, which is very confusing to women. So, and they to have women understand you're not in control of what turns you on, like your kink, your desire. And so if we have worked with women who have, this is going to be difficult for people to hear. An extraordinary amount of women have been molested by their fathers and their brothers and their uncles. It's an extraordinary number of women. And through those non-consensual relationships, these women received undivided attention for a period of time, and some of them received inadvertently pleasure. And so that became the imprint. The rape became the imprint. The being forced against their will became the turn on imprint. And so instead of trying to untangle that, because you can't, you can't. These women have been in therapy for 20 years. It doesn't work.
Yeah, I
So
agree.
instead of trying and the guilt and shame, and so instead to validate and to say, yeah, that happened to you and that was really shitty and that was wrong. And this is a turn on. It has now been imprinted as a turn on. So how do we embrace it? How do we permission the turn on, not as being shameful, guilty, disgusting, and awful? How do we play with the turn on? How do we invite that and give permission to the turn on, knowing that you don't want to actually do that again, that you wouldn't wish that upon yourself again, that it's not about forgiving the predator. It's about, okay, this is what I've got now. And this is what turns me on. So maybe it's important for me to dress up like a schoolgirl and wear pigtails into my session and be the little girl and embrace the turn on. And so that could be some of the work that's happening. Obviously, not in every room, but trauma is a really interesting thing. And the guilt and shame women hold about what has been imprinted on them. So permissioning the imprint and embracing the imprint is, it can be very, very important to a woman's healing because she's not going to get rid of, she's not going to get rid of the imprint. It's not going to happen. And if they embrace it and live it out, it's actually possible that other things will start to catch their attention and they can slowly let go of this thing and move on.
Well, so I'm wondering if a little bit of what you're speaking to is helping these women kind of find pleasure where it's already living, even if it's sort of inside of this thing that was imprinted that maybe wasn't so positive, but there's still pleasure associated with it. And as they're able to sort of just accept what is, that from there, other new information can come in, or the curiosity to try new things or be open to new things, perhaps even then there's space for that. If we're kind of just
Absolutely.
and being in a state of embrace with, with what is, with perhaps the kink or the trauma that maybe feels shameful.
Absolutely. And so they're not going to spend all their time in that. So once
Right.
that gets incorporated, then I have space to play with other forms of eroticism and other experiments with my body.
Yeah.
And so we see a great deal of that, and which is so unfortunate. And we see just everyday women like I was. Women who have been in long-term marriages, who are still in long-term marriages, and their only experience erotically has been with one person or very few partners.
Yeah.
We see women who are sex goddesses and need a place to become a bigger, better sex goddess,
Nice.
because there aren't many places to go to. Like for me, I work with my own practitioners. And I've been climbing on tables for 20 years. I'm still climbing on tables. It's my
Okay.
practice. It's where I grow. It's where I talk to God. It's my altar. It's where I actually can play with trance states and long-tail arousal and my own self-expression, and where I dance on the table in my erotic pleasure. You know, there's images of me that I can't show on social media.
Right.
But the women get to see live demos. So they get to see, which is so important,
Yeah.
because they get to see what's possible
Right.
on the table. You know, I had a woman say to me, oh my God, I'm so relieved because I didn't know what to do with my legs. Like, what do I do with my legs on the table? And, you know, to see me dancing and moving and even standing on the table, my pleasure is so freeing and opens up the possibilities. And women have seen porn, but they've not seen a midlife woman like standing
Yes.
on the table in orgasm
Right.
and seeing what's possible in a not perfect body.
Right.
To see, not perfect body, let's circle back. Like, why, what? You know, so many women come with body dysmorphia. So many women come with shame around their bodies. So many women come who've had breast cancer, mastectomies, who've had real failure, I call it body betrayal, and trying to make friends and reconnect with a body
Wow.
that didn't ask our permission
Right.
to
Yeah.
get cancer or MS.
Yeah.
You know, we've had women show up with all kinds of things, and that's what we work with, and we're so experienced with it. And again, we have women who come for pleasure.
Yeah.
They don't come to be fixed.
Yeah.
They don't come for healing. They come because they were like me. I didn't have any trauma like that.
Yeah. Right.
I wanted, and my marriage bed wasn't broken.
Yeah.
We knew how to do the things. Licky, licky, sucky, sucky, fucky, fucky. We did all that. You know, I've had orgasms since I'm 5 years old. It wasn't about that. It was about this somehow a knowing there was more. And it wasn't work that I was going to do with my husband.
Right. It's so interesting. I know that that is in my story of my sexual awakening. That was very much a place that I was in of like, I know there is something more. I don't know what it is, but I want to find it.
Yeah.
And I agree. I think that that is largely work that needs to be done initially, at least within our own bodies and within discovering what is pleasure? Where does pleasure live? How does pleasure work? How does my body even work? How does my arousal work? What is sexual energy? There's so much value in that. The piece to this, however, that I think is really threatening for a lot of women is that pleasure can feel extremely terrifying and even threatening. And I wonder if you could speak to that a little bit, if you feel that that is true, if you've seen that, if so, how does that show up in your retreats and how do you work with that? And was that true for you as you went on your own erotic explorations back many years ago?
I'm still on it.
Never
I don't think it's an I don't think it has an
end.
end. I don't. I really, you know, I don't believe that it ends. I really don't.
But it
And
does begin. There is a beginning
there
for
is a
all of it.
beginning. Absolutely, there is a beginning. And I just got waylaid. Could you repeat your question again?
Yeah, is pleasure can feel very threatening and
Okay,
terrifying.
got it.
I'm curious if
And
you found that to be true for yourself when you began, and then also if how it shows up with your participants at your retreats.
for me, I think in a different way, it was terrifying because I didn't know the practitioners. I wasn't in a safe enough container.
I see.
I was calling up random practitioners.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
I
yeah,
mean, because this wasn't readily available
yeah. Right.
50 years ago. It
Yes.
was just not available for women at all. And where it was available was in very specific goddess spot containers,
Yes. So
which
interesting.
I found, explored, and found sometimes nutritive and sometimes not nutritive at all.
Yeah.
So how it shows up when women are really moving pleasure energy initially, they can experience nausea. They can actually vomit
Oh,
because they're moving energies and block spaces.
yeah.
And so every once in a while, it's not all the time, of course, there's a woman who says, comes out of session and says, "I don't understand, I'm nauseous now. I had such a great session and I'm nauseous." And I'm like, yeah, you're moving all this unblocked spaces. The fear also of pleasure and or backslash knowing yourself
Yeah.
is the fear that if I really embrace pleasure and who I am as a woman, my life is going to change.
Yeah, absolutely. Or my marriage will end, right?
And
Like
it
that.
does. And it
Yeah,
can.
well, it can. Mine too.
And women who come in transition or divorced or single often find partners afterwards. So there is a realignment that can be terrifying, which is often why women don't do this.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a big obstacle, I'm sure, to women out there who are listening to this who might be like, oh, this sounds really amazing. But then there's that terror of like, oh my God, but then my relationship might end or my life might change. And the fear of that is greater than that desire for the pleasure and for some people. And so they never take the leap. But there are those out there that you know that there's something on the other side of that. And that's the thing that's greater that's pulling them towards the exploration of their own eroticism and their own pleasure. And their joy, it's our
Absolutely.
birthright.
And it's our creative energy.
And our creative life force energy, absolutely.
Absolutely. And so when we embrace our pleasure, we're also embracing our sovereignty. And so when I am strong in my body, when I know who I am as an erotic woman,
Yeah.
that energy actually provides safety for me
Yes.
when I walk through the streets.
Well,
That
that's.
provides energy for founding my business,
Yeah.
for my creativity, for my parenting. It goes out into the world. It goes into your lasagna. Okay. Like your lasagna tastes better when you're erotically alive.
So true. But let's go back for a minute to the safety piece, because I think that that's where a lot of people get hung up as well. They get stuck there thinking, and it's a misthought. That's why I want to talk about it. If I awaken myself sexually, if I, and I like really come into my sexual authority, my pleasure, and my power as a sovereign sexual woman, then I'm going to attract more of what I don't want. The negative male gaze, right? That negative sexual energy that's grabbing at women that is out there in the world. We've all experienced it. The thought is that I'll be less safe if I'm really connected with my sexuality. And so what we tend to do, we disconnect from it. But I'm sure you know this. We're really less safe when we're not fully embodied and in full union with our erotic life force sexual energy. We're actually much safer when we're embodied in it. But the myth is that I'll be less safe and I'll get more unwanted attention if I'm sexually activated and alive. Can you speak to that for a minute and what your experience has been? Because you said you're safer in the world when you're unified with that force within you.
Well, it's kind of interesting, right? I like attention. I enjoy attention.
Yeah, me too.
I enjoy the male gaze.
Yeah.
And I feel safe in it
Yeah.
because I feel safe in my body.
Right.
And I can choose whether to attract it or not attract it. And I can make those choices by how I walk and how I engage and how I engage with my eyes.
Yes.
Like, do I smile? Do I look up? Do I look away? I have choices And, I think it's a shame that women are frightened of the male gaze and the female gaze. I think being seen is something that most people are so hungry for. People want to be seen.
Or need to, they at least need to be, I believe it's a really important thing. I think, but part of the fear is because women have been harmed, perhaps. They've been, even if you didn't have some explicit sexual abuse that happened when you were a child, everyone has some negative sexual experience. Most of us do. Most of not all of us have some negative experience that happened to us when we were young that maybe have caused us to be less than fully expressed in our sexuality. And I think that's where that piece comes in of like why sometimes women will pull away from it. We shame, which we shouldn't shame men for that, in my opinion. Men will be men. But we'll go into that sort of shaming and making men wrong for wanting to look at us. And that tendency to want to hide, I think, is a really common obstacle to our full erotic embodiment that I see a lot in my work when I work with women and couples.
I think that's true. I think that's absolutely true. And I also think that, again, when we're embodied, when we have feelings of sovereignty, it's easier for us to manage those feelings in those situations.
Absolutely.
It's
Yeah,
easier for
absolutely.
us to say, and maybe even like a kind way. Thanks, and I'm not that interested right now.
Yeah, right.
You
Because you're
know, and
empowered.
you know, it's just sort of like, thank you, and
Right.
thank you, and. And so, and people need to figure this out for themselves. What's their comfort level? What I've learned is that women, as they become more and more embodied and more safe in who they are, become more peacocky. They become much more
True.
flamboyant in
Yeah.
how they dress and how they
Very
welcome
true.
gays and how they engage with people. And it's a process.
Yeah.
And people get there step by step. It's what I find, Susan, is that some people just quit too soon. And so it's about embracing being uncomfortable.
Yep.
And it's amazing with the combination of touch work, embodiment work, and classical therapy, how quickly women can move.
Yeah.
Women who've been stuck in one thing for 20 years in 1 week, 1 week,
Right.
are
And
able to move mountains.
mountains. And
And
I, because you're involving more than just the mind and talking about it, where we're really disconnected. And that's the problem that I have with sort of your traditional therapy model. And I come out of that world. That is my past as a psychotherapist for 10 years. It's really limited in that aspect. And to be able to bring the somatic piece on, bringing the body on, bringing the experiential real-time practices that bring us right up against that thing within us so that we can actually work through it in real time is so valuable. And it's not the kind of thing that sort of your traditional talking space can really provide. But something like what you're doing with these retreats can really create those types of real-time intimacy practices where the women are able to come up against the thing that is they're stuck in real time be supported to move through it. Is that correct? I think that's what I'm hearing.
And to be clear, when I when we close the circle at the end of a retreat, one of the things I say to women, and this is now time to book your appointment with your mental health professional.
Yeah.
Please make sure that if you're working with somebody, that you have an appointment in the books this week. If you
Yeah.
don't have a referral, please speak to me.
Yeah.
Because, at Back to the Body, we offer support groups for free. That we have professionally run support groups in our little, private container.
Yeah.
So we've got that for women. So they're not sort of dropped on their heads.
Right, thank goodness.
And they have sisterhood. Beautiful. And I think they need one-on-one support from a sex positive psychotherapist or coach who will
Yeah.
give them that one-on-one process.
Right.
And it's not one, it's, life is so complex, Susan, right?
Right.
And getting wherever we are, who we are, didn't get there overnight.
Right.
Took a lot of time.
Yeah.
And we tell women, like, don't leave here expecting this nice little bow.
Right.
you know, on your little package to happen, because there's
Yeah.
no little bow. There's no little bow.
It
You know,
doesn't come with a bow, everybody.
it doesn't come with a
Go
bow. Your sexuality does
retreat
not.
doesn't
And you will be going like this. You're going to
come
expand and contract. And how can you stay in? And how do you get the
with a bow.
support? This is not a solo activity. Sexual embodiment, sexual wellness and wholeness, female sovereignty is a team sport. The team sport. I didn't do this by myself. I still don't do this by myself. I don't expect the women who come through me, through our programs, to do this by themselves. That's
I think you make a really good point there. I know
crazy.
one of the challenges that I have seen women have around sexuality work is that exact piece. There's sometimes what I've encountered is sort of an intimidation of being in a group setting and exploring these very sensitive areas. And I agree with you. I think that the group setting is actually an ideal place and a necessary place actually to do it, especially as women. Yet so many women are doing it in isolation. And actually, when I really got on my path, I mean, I didn't have, that was 12 years ago, and I didn't have support. I didn't even know about a lot of the stuff that we have, that's more mainstream, or at least it's coming out of the woodwork, like the sexological
Oh,
body work.
it's I mean, what's true, Susan, is we've gone from being in the shadows to being in CNN Traveler and Condé Nast Traveler and Oprah. It's amazing what is being talked about and how the lens has changed around this work. But back to your piece about isolation and sisterhood. So we took part in a study. It was a 6-year study, and people can find that link on my website. They go to the blogs, and it's a published study, and they looked at the effects of sexological body work at my retreats because it was the only way they could study it.
Cool.
It wasn't
Wow.
about me,
Right.
but I have a repeatable model. So
Gotcha.
there's not a lot of repeatable models out there.
Right, good
And
point.
so Dr. Crane and others at Widener University did this longitudinal IRB study. And one of the number one outcomes was that women learned to trust women.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah,
That's so,
women learned to trust women.
well, we've been so conditioned in more of the patriarchal society in which we largely live that, women turning against women, going into competition with other women, that is not our natural state as really the feminine force. It's really about cooperation and working together and trusting when building trust. I mean, that's amazing. I wonder, tell me more about that. Like, why do you
Okay,
think
sure. I know why. You want to know why? I'll tell you
you.
why.
Okay,
And I
good.
knew the answer, and I knew it was going to be an outcome of the study
Oh.
before I got to see the actual results, because I live it, right?
Yeah.
I live the programs. So the reason why is we've taken out mate competition.
Ah.
We've
Oh, wow. Because it's all
taken
been.
out competition,
Oh my
especially
God.
around male attention.
Wow. Holy moly.
Because everyone knows that they have a practitioner.
Uh-huh.
Everyone knows they have their sessions. It's on their schedules.
Wow.
Everyone knows they're getting it. Everyone's getting, so my attention. No one's competing for my attention.
Right.
No one's competing. And so when we take competition away from women, then they become allies to each other. And then
Wow.
you hear women, let's say you knew that Sally was having trouble with finding her pleasure. And we're doing a workshop, but we can hear Sally. And we can hear Sally's pleasure. And then the women start like dancing to Sally's pleasure. So we start embracing and supporting each other when we're not fighting for the same crumb.
Wow.
Everyone's getting a whole slice of cake.
Wow, that's
And
awesome.
I really do believe that that is what's true. You know, there's another organization, I'm not going to mention their name, and they have this weird policy that the men who are teachers there cannot, they cannot initiate sexual contact with outside of sessions, but the women can. So what are they setting up?
Yeah.
Competition between
Interesting.
the women
Wow.
for that one practitioner's attention. Well,
Wow.
how can healing happen in that environment?
It's really interesting.
Healing can happen when we are fighting for the same cookie. We're
Yeah.
fighting for the same job. We're fighting for mother's attention. We're fighting for a lover's attention.
Yeah.
We cannot stop being hypervigilant. And you can't be in pleasure. You can't have an orgasm. You can't do any of those things. If you're like, do, 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 do,
Yeah.
do, 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 do,
It's so true.
do.
Wrong
It
part of
can't
the brain.
happen.
The wrong part of the
Exactly. And so we've removed that the best we can.
Yeah.
And we talk about don't compare, don't compress, don't contrast with each other. You
Right.
don't, you know, there's a difference between secrecy and privacy.
Yes.
And, you know, you when someone is sharing their story about their session, that's not the moment for you to say, oh, you think that was cool. Let me tell you what happened with me. So we teach them how to communicate with each other. How do we listen to each other's stories? How do we become cheerleaders for each other? And what's true is that I've been doing this particular work for 13 years now. And, you know, women do eventually move on. And some of them were made friends with me on Facebook. And then I see them together. They're no longer with me, but the friendships they make and the sisterhood they make continues.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful, like to turn on and see four of your clients in
I
Aruba
love
together,
it.
playing. And these are women who didn't trust women.
Right. Wow. That's really beautiful. I'm curious, so we have a little bit of time left together, and this might be just a slight shift in our conversation. And I am going to give our listeners, everyone listening, you're going to get a way to find out more about the Back to the Body retreat here at the end of the interview. So please stay with us. Would you talk about some of the advocacy work that you've done and laws that have been passed, and just a little bit about that aspect of your work, which I think is just phenomenal. I would just love to hear a little bit about that. I'm
Well,
curious to.
sure. I mean, that was my past.
Okay.
So I'm a bit of a bridge human. And what I mean by that is I'm the kind of person, and many people are who become activists, is that they have a life experience and then they want to make it better for people who are facing similar challenges. So I got married very young and didn't expect to have trouble having children. And I did. I ended up doing in vitro fertilization. My children are 33 years old. So we're talking about, you know, the stone age of fertility, of the fertility world, the very beginning of the fertility, the modern, you know, when in vitro fertilization was not like McDonald's, where there was a fertility center in the mall. Okay, you had to travel and get on a wait list to go to Virginia, you know, to go to the not to go to a particular institute. There was like three in the US.
Wow.
And so that's my background in trying to build my family. And so I wanted to make that world better. And we went into huge debt because insurance wasn't covering our treatment. And so I was a kindergarten teacher. That's where I started. I started in the New York City public schools teaching kindergarten. And I got married at 19. And I'm still married. So I didn't want people to have the financial burdens. I wanted to, I was extremely public. I did things that don't exist anymore, like the Joan London show with my IVF baby to show people that he was normal. You know, like all that really foundational work I did the work around understanding your biological clock, which women didn't understand. I did a study of 17,000 women from around the world. That's why you know that you have a biological clock, because I did that.
Oh my
And that's
gosh,
what
you're
got me
kidding.
on Oprah.
That's
That's
your
what
work.
got me in time. That was my work.
That's
And so,
amazing. I didn't know that.
thank you. And so I helped pass two laws for family building in New York and New
Okay.
Jersey.
Okay.
And before I moved on to sexuality. And for me, it's a very similar thing. So I was bridging the gap for what was known about conception and fertility.
Yeah.
And now I'm doing that for female sexuality. And
Yes, well, I love
it's
it.
both were from my own lifetime experience.
Right.
And so I helped take infertility out of the closet.
Okay.
And now I feel being, I don't mean this in a hubris kind of way, but I'm extremely visible.
Yeah.
I was never goddess of the blue moon with a bindi. Okay, I was never that.
Yeah.
I was always Pamela Anderson,
You're
you
the New
know?
York style, New East
Yeah.
Coast style. It's
Yeah,
very
I was always just Pamela
clear.
Anderson. I always used my name. I
Yeah.
used my platforms of people who knew me as the woman who testified before Congress and the FDA about reproductive choice.
Wow, that's so
And,
cool.
you know, for, you know, it feels so difficult right now. I had a quote that was like with Obama and all these people, and the quote was, "The right to have a baby is as important as the right not to have a baby." And right now in today's world, you kind of choke on that a little bit,
Oh, wow.
you know, because of what's going on
Right.
with reproductive choice on both ends of the spectrum.
Sure.
And it and that affects women's sexuality, and we talked about that earlier in the show.
Yeah.
So I'm doing it again,
Yeah.
only this time I'm doing it around female sexual sovereignty
Yeah.
and taking that out of the closet. And you
Yeah.
know what's true, Susan, is we are inviting men.
Right.
And so we do a couples retreat, we do
Oh,
private couples work.
absolutely.
There are two beautiful men, I'm going to say their names. There are two beautiful men who run retreats that are just like Back to the Body, but for men.
Okay.
And a lot of our husbands go.
Okay.
And so one is known either as Happy Touch or the Apollo Project.
Oh, I
And
know the
that's
Apollo Project.
okay. And
Yeah.
that's, they changed their name, I think, to Happy Touch, but it's the same people.
Oh, they did. Okay.
Yeah, I think so. So Cosmo Means. And then for gay or bisexual men, Court Box and the Body Box. Now, his
Okay.
practitioners are male.
Okay.
And Cosmo Means practitioners are female.
Yes.
And so this work does exist
Yeah.
for men across the spectrum, including transgender men.
Wow.
Transgender women are welcome. And
Wow.
so we are expanding this. We
Okay.
are expanding this. And so sexual sovereignty can belong to all of us. And we do have men coming on board. And we do have partners coming on board. I had one husband say to me, "Look, this isn't fair. I sent you a Volvo, and you sent me home a Ferrari, and she didn't come with like a guidance book. I had to get
That's
a
fair.
manual."
Get a guidance book, a manual. You got to
Right,
learn how to drive the Ferrari. Yeah, I mean, it's a
right.
different
Because I was
experience.
really good with the Volvo. She was really safe and dependable, and now I've got a race car.
Wow.
And I need help
That's
in
hot.
managing my race car. And so I'm like,
Yeah,
come on,
right.
honey.
How do
We
I
can
drive
help you manage your race car. And you
the
know what,
Ferrari?
feelings come up. You know, men, you know, some of the older men have had feelings like, wow, when I was really sexually virile, she wasn't interested. And now here I am. I'm not as sexually virile. And she is 50 or
Yeah,
60 or 70.
totally.
And she's like off the charts.
Yeah.
And how am I going to hold this like brand new woman? And
Yeah.
so we do help, we do support. You know, ladies, if you're listening, the men are teachable once you learn you.
True. I mean, yeah, you got to do you first. So I so agree with that.
Absolutely.
Well, Pamela, you're a waymaker,
Thank
a
you.
trailblazer, an advocate, and I'm grateful for you and for the work that you have done to blaze those trails in the world, and that you're doing now with these retreats, the Back to the Body retreats. And I would love for you to just let our listeners know, how can people connect with you? How can they find out more about your work? How can they sign up for a retreat? Talk about that. Let us know how we can get in touch with you.
Sure, I can do that in a minute or two. So first of all, they can just go to backtothebody.org and there's a pleasure quiz on there. And they can take the pleasure quiz and that will then like give them like resources, sign up, it will connect them to the newsletter. They can have a free consultation with one of our female sexologists. And we're actually buying a home in Joshua Tree, California.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah, it's really a big deal. And so the
Yes.
Back to the Body Institute is being born.
Yay.
And we will, yes, I'm very excited. And so we will have a real live, gorgeous, gorgeous spot now in the US
Oh,
that is
amazing.
managed and owned by us. And we're still going to be doing international retreats. So if you want to go to Italy and do this work or Thailand and do this work, we'll do about four of those a year and smaller events called portals. By the time this airs, there'll be one in Joshua Tree, probably the first week of December.
Okay.
So pop over there and sign up just to get on the newsletter. If you are a social media person, you can find me personally on Instagram at the Pamela Madsen, because someone took at Pamela Madsen. Isn't that nervy?
Yeah,
I
that's so
hate when that
nervous.
happens. So nervy. And I'm on Facebook. My longer writings, I put out free information every day, free writing every day. Longer version, Facebook.
Okay.
Shorter version, Instagram.
Okay.
And so you can find me there. I have a vague presence on TikTok. It's vague. It's so vague.
Still quite brave.
It's just like, videos go up every once in a bit. I haven't mastered the TikTok. I'm between what do they call it? A Gen Z and a boomer. I'm on the cusp.
Oh my gosh.
I'm doing the best I can, kids. I'm
Well,
doing the best I
the fact
can.
that you even have a vague presence is better than what I can do with TikTok, and
Well,
I'm
there we
younger than
go.
you, so. Yeah,
But Facebook is my favorite because I don't have to censor myself. I can really give, I don't like the mall. I don't like when people go to social media just to be sold to.
yeah.
And so what people can find on my Facebook and on my Instagram is education
Good. Yeah.
and invitations to events or
Right.
podcasts and things like
Beautiful.
this.
That's beautiful.
But it's my page is not a mall.
Yeah, the sales mall. Yeah, I totally know what you mean. That's so refreshing.
And what's true, Susan, is because what we do is so limited, I sell out really fast.
I would bet.
So I'm not hungry. And so what I can tell women is that if you want to get on the boat, get on the boat because it's full and you have to plan 6 months or a year
Oh,
sometimes.
okay, good to know.
To,
Good to
oh yeah, to get to a retreat, because the women who are in the program, they tend to take more and
know.
they get like first bites.
Yeah,
And
good.
so it's sort of like getting into the
Get
program.
into the program, everybody. Did you hear that? 6 months a year. Get on it now. Back to the body.org and on Instagram at the Pamela Madsen, and on Facebook, is it just, what is your Facebook handle,
Pamela
Pamela?
Madsen. It's very it's old-fashioned verified.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I
Cool.
didn't pay for it. It just appeared 10 years
All
ago.
right.
Yes.
That's awesome.
The blue check just appeared. I didn't even know what it was. It was,
Oh,
it was in the
yeah.
old days.
Well,
It was when
I think
Jesus was
you
a
worked
baby.
for it. You worked for
Absolutely.
that check.
I did. So thank you, Susan, for having me. This has been
Oh,
delightful.
you are so welcome. Thank you for being my guest on the Sex Talk Cafe. Thank you for joining me today for the Sex Talk Cafe. Please be sure to show your support by subscribing to this podcast and sharing it with your friends. To keep in the loop on future events and happenings, and to grab your copy of our free ebook, The Pleasure Keys, 7 Secrets to Feminine Sexual Fulfillment, visit us online at pathwaytopleasure.com.